Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
I am the one.
so sunny.
Drinking that wine, remember the schoolyard days?
Yeah.
We had to take you home, man. You was out on
oh,
man.
Better, better day. Lord have mercy.
Hey, but listen.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to run around there? Steal a hubcap off the car.
What you talking about? Battery?
We lucky we ain't get busted, man.
Listen.
Then I say, here comes the fun.
Hey, Bird, what corner was you coming to me?
That's in the line.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
But dig this here.
Yeah.
Now, see, when all that gang war was going on, I'll tell you one thing I never forget.
And what's that?
See, when I got home, first thing I would hear is,
what?
Bill!
Yeah.
Where you been, boy?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
I say, I was out with Sonny Bird and Lil Sonny.
Put it all up.
Yeah. I had to put it on somebody.
Hey, Bill, what's your mama say?
She say, boy, now I'm going to tell you.
What?
You know you getting big now.
Yeah.
You got to watch the things that you doing out in that street.
Right. And then go to jail. Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, man. Mama wasn't wrong.
No.
But what about Pop?
Oh, we ain't talking about Pop.
No, man. Pop, well, he was all right.
Pop was,
not a bad
Pop was hanging out, you
yeah,
know.
Hanging out. I think Pop was drinking more wine than we used to. I know my pop did.
Yeah.
My pop hung right on with you, boy.
Yeah. Stay out all night. Come on, clothes all wrinkled up, lip balls all on them.
Hey, buddy. I know where your mom cooked them good home cooked bits today.
The green?
Oh, man.
Boy, your mama sure cooked her.
All right. All right. All right, guys. Royalty, royalty, royalty. Thank you, thank you, thank you, guys, for tuning in to another podcast on Hanson Awareness Radio. This is Spiritual Soul Sunday, guys. And today, this is respect to our elders and honest exchange, right? So, this podcast means a lot to me. It's coming from the heart. Why did I entitle this podcast Respect to Our Elders? An honest exchange, you know, a pause, the pause, really. The pause, an honest exchange, and also a conversation with respectable parameters, you know what I mean? So I wanted to come back on and do this podcast because... For a long time, you know, there was a lot of anger. The last time I did a podcast when it came to the younger generation and the elder generation, I've done a few. I can't think of them. I tried to find them, but I couldn't even think of the name. The name of the podcast, you know, I knew that it came from a place of anger, you know, and anger and resentment. And, I mean, just vicious. You know what I mean? I can just feel myself going back to that place, and it was real ugly, y'all. But you know, now that I've been back and I went back to the drawing board and I did my work and I had to go deep, and I'm talking a deep, 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 deep dark place, guys. And I feel like I've been there all my life, really. You know, but something happened. You know what I mean? Like a shift. And I just clicked, you know, and I kind of woke up. And I wanted to be a bigger person, in essence, and come back and have this conversation again with lighter energy. You know, with, let me first just say, change is inevitable. You know what I mean? It is, it's definitely nothing in this world, life, universe, however you want to put it, is consistent, yet that of change, okay? So my this podcast, here's the thing, y'all please forgive me because I've been doing radio since 2013, okay? There's no issue with me having a podcast, y'all. But I got like these butterflies, and I'm nervous about this one, right? Because, you know, like, okay, what if I don't do it right? What if I say the wrong thing? What, you know, all of these, you know, childhood emotions are coming up even right now. You know what I mean? It's like that timid boy coming up to speak, but he's scared, you know, of his elders and what, you know, they're going to think about him and how they're going to judge him. And, you know, does his voice matter? You know what I mean? And, what are they going to say? You know, what? How are they going to treat me going forward? You know, just all of these things that are coming up, you know, even in my moment. And, but I'm working through it, right? And this is a respectable, honest exchange. Again, lighter energy, guys. And I want to kind of bring up some key points. And the reason, and another reason why I want to bring this back to the table is because I am seeing a lot in observation, guys. Okay. Also, go back and listen, if you want, you know, to the podcast I've done yesterday. It was a kind of an introductory to what I'm doing today, and it was effective communication among the generations. You know what I mean? And here's that communication thing again. You know, it's I'm seeing a lot of our youth in a place where I was. You know what I mean? They're real angry. They're real vicious. They're real, you know, they even fight. Some of them are fighting their elders. You know what I mean? It's gotten bad, y'all. So I always think, why? You know, why has this gotten so bad? What happened? What happened? And why was I so vicious, you know, toward some of my elders, you guys? And there are reasonings, you know, and first off, you know, it's like, can you hear me? Does my voice matter? It's not something, you know, you tell our youth, like, okay, I love you. Yeah, I love you, but it's something I feel, right, that love is someone has to be fit. Like, you have to feel that coming from the core. It's like a vibration. You know, we can tell some people, we can tell somebody anything. But can you feel that I love you? Does my actions show that I care? You know what I mean? And, y'all, a lot of that is missing out here. You know what I mean? And I worry at times. Well, let me say not worry, but I'm at a high level of concern when it comes, because I genuinely, like, when it comes to the kids and the youth, you know, I like to listen to them. I like to see, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it. And, you know, have y'all noticed that there is a lot of sexual projection out here? I have never, even on these social media platforms, like, I know sex sells and sex was in the mainstream and all that, but I'm talking, it is outright predatory out here now, and it makes me think, like, why is this happening? Like why is this allowed? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of concerns there, but my apologies, you know, for the way that I went about, you know, my projections to the elders, because here's the thing I noted is that I know that our elders went through their stuff too, you know what I mean? And I would love to hear, like, I feel that I would love to hear some of those stories, you know, of how, I always speak about how, you know, how we got to where we're at. I think that that's a huge piece that is missing and that is left out about the processes. You know, we always talk down to our youth about how they're supposed to be, or you're supposed to do it like this, kind of like a black and white type deal. But the whole piece about how we get to a certain level, you know, I feel that it has to be talked about, and it's missing, okay? So, you know, it's just the way in how we do things. And I know that a lot of my shit wasn't possibly effective at the time because, you know, it was kind of like swords, you know, like, okay, you know, I kind of feel that a lot of people just wanted me dead, right? Because the way that I was projecting was just like, it was just unacceptable. And I would agree a lot of it, but I'm so grateful. Oh, I am so grateful and so gratitude that a lot of people did not give up on me. They knew that I was going through a real challenging time. And I know that a lot of our youth are growing through, I don't like to say going through, I like to say growing through challenging times, you guys. They are purging. They are expressing, you know, and they to be heard. They want to be felt. And I think that is very important, especially now, to pay attention to what anybody, and not just, you know, we don't want to leave out the healing that has to be done with our elder generations, too, because, again, change is inedible. I butcher that word, but y'all know what I mean. Change is consistent, okay? And it's very important. So as I was just getting prepared for this podcast and lighting my stage and, you know, cleansing the energy, the card I pulled, I was like, okay, give me something. What is it that needs to be known in this podcast? And it was the only card I pulled, the unknown. The unknown. There are things that we don't know. There are things that we don't understand. There are conversations that needs to be had. But here's the thing, guys. There's a lot of things hidden. There's a lot of secrets. You know, we understand that. But we are in a time now to where all of these things are coming out, and they are coming to the forefront, and they are coming to the surface, and we are not having these conversations about what happened in the past. Okay, they always say, don't go back to the past. Don't try to revisit the past. Although, at times, it's necessary to go back to understand what happened in order to bring healing forth so we can move forward. And that piece is missing as well. How are we going to move forward when we're sweeping some of the most important conversations and important things that happened to grandma, or the important things that happened to mama, or the important things that happened to granddaddy, or that granddaddy did to the daughter, or, you know, what have you? And these are healing conversations, you guys, that are not pretty. You know what I mean? Healing is not pretty, baby. Change, Tony Jones said, change is messy. We do not address these things and bring forth, like how I'm coming back doing this podcast, if we don't bring it back up and open the door, have positive parameters, the conversations are not being had because I feel that a lot of people do not feel safe about it. Can be what they've done, what they've been through. They're so ashamed of it. However dark it may be, you know, it's possibly dangerous for these conversations to be had, and it's not had in safe spaces. So what happens? A lot of our people die off without having the conversations and without, you know, healing the proper ways. You know what I mean? It's just all this stuff, you guys, that has happened and is happening that we don't talk about. You know, we talk about Beyonce and we talk about all these, you know, external things. You know what I mean? But I love Iyanla Van Zandt, and I'm going to play a clip about, shit, what is a healthy relationship, you guys? You know, a lot like myself, you know what I mean? Many of us guys really don't know. And, you know, something came up as I was writing out the show, and that was the forgotten children. What about the forgotten children? What about the children that didn't have anybody to talk to? And when I speak of children, I mean all generations and ages, because everybody was a child at one point, you know. So what about the conversations that we didn't get to have with grandma, or we didn't get to have with granddaddy, or, you know, grandma didn't apologize, you know, for what she put me through, you know what I mean? And now, you know, I don't want to go visit her grave because of, you know, all these feelings that may come up, and, you know, just, it's just a lot. And I know that many people go through this, okay, on so many different levels and scales, you guys. So the card again was the unknown, something hidden, something unaware of, something haven't learned yet, something that we can't see, not knowing, unfamiliar with, hidden secrets, unexperienced, not perceiving, concealed. That's the only card I pulled, you guys. So, what is a healthy relationship? And again, many of us just do not know, guys. So I love Ayala Vincent. I love what she did for the world and is doing for the world when it comes to Fix My Life. Now, I know she has a lot of celebrities and a lot of high-known people, but this is also going on a lower scale, on, you know, the community, the regular Jane and Joes in our families. You know what I'm saying? This is going on, and I feel that it's trickling down to the healing that is necessary and has to be done on a level. But how do we heal? You know, these are things that are just coming up, guys. So a good place to start, in yesterday's podcast I had did, and I'm going to end out with the clip Ayala did. There's going to be two clips. The first one is, what is a healthy relationship? And what I'm going to go out with is hard conversations. What are the hard conversations, and how can we begin to even have the hard conversations, you guys? So, you know, I just hope this podcast touches someone, and how not to be upset with our elders, you know, for what they've done, because nobody may have told them or taught them. You know what I'm saying? We have to kind of understand their positions, you know, that they were put in. You know, they just did what they had to do, you know, as far as raising us, as far as, you know, guiding us, you know what I mean? Because it was just like we passed down all of this toxicity through, you know, the generations, you know what I'm saying? And we didn't know how to heal it right, you know? Hell, well, not even know how to heal it right. We didn't even speak. Did we even speak the word healing back then? Like, I don't even remember hearing the word healing at all, now that I think about it. I don't remember hearing healing until about the late thousands, like 2013 or 2016. That's when healing started to kind of be a thing, or introduced, if you will, into the community. But, yeah, I don't remember even hearing it at all. Wow. So let's hear, I call her Auntie Ayala, but Ayala Van Zandt, guys. And y'all know my video credits are always in the show notes. But let's start there, guys. What is a healthy relationship?
Welcome to the R-Spot. I am Ayala Van Zandt. The other day, one of my friends asked me, just what is a healthy relationship? You know, I had to scratch my head for a minute because I realized that there are many, many people who have no clue what it is, what it means, what it takes to have a healthy relationship. So that's the topic of today's R-Spot. What is a healthy relationship? Now, a healthy relationship is not hard to experience once you know what it is and what really matters. So for the purpose of this Art Spot, we are addressing the health of all relationships, not just intimate loveships. This applies to friendships and family relationships also. So let's start with the elements of a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is one you want to be in. Not one that you are in or have been in so long you don't know how to leave, or one that you're used to being in, or one that you're in out of habit or obligation, or a sense of responsibility. A healthy relationship is one that you want to be in because it is good for you and the other people involved, which brings us to the second element. A healthy relationship is one in which you feel affirmed, supported, and encouraged to be the best person you can be. In fact, a healthy relationship makes you want to be a better person. This means that you can be your authentic self, your real self, at all times with the person you're in relationship with. You have your strengths that are recognized and your weaknesses and shortcomings that are accepted, not criticized, but that you're also supported in working out and working through. You have your individual talents and interests that are supported, and your voice, your view, your needs are considered in the things that you do together. In a healthy relationship, you get to be you as you change and shift and grow without being expected to be who the other person or people need and want you to be in order to keep them comfortable. I think another sign of a healthy relationship is that there's trust, honesty, respect, compassion, forgiveness, compromise, and a shared vision, shared interest, and a willingness to practice all of those principles and live up to them to the best of your ability. In other words, a healthy relationship exists within the construct of guiding principles. This does not mean that you won't have disagreements or differences of opinion and breakdown. What it means is that when things get tough, trust, truth, honesty, respect, compassion, forgiveness, compromise take precedence over being right and having your own way. In a healthy relationship, you are willing to love selflessly, and you enjoy looking for the little ways to keep the love in your relationship alive. You give without expectation of anything in return. You find ways to crank up the energy in the relationship. You pay attention to what the other person likes, wants, needs, and when possible, you support it or provide it. This is important because as a relationship matures, your good efforts may not bring the same fulfillment or excitement. You know, we can get so used to a person or a relationship that after a while, the excitement and the connection just kind of wears off. But in a healthy relationship, you keep looking for ways that you can rekindle that spark, that connection, that energy that makes you enjoy being together. This applies to your mother, your sister, your brother, your father, and yes, your lover and your children. So in review, I think that a healthy relationship is one that you want to be in, one in which you feel affirmed and supported, one that has guiding principles, and one that you want to keep alive and exciting. A healthy relationship is also the one that you're prepared to work for and work on. Yes, a healthy relationship requires a lot of work. However, when you want to be in the relationship, when you're passionate about the relationship and its health, it won't seem like work at all. A relationship is a living thing. It needs to be nurtured and nourished. And if you want to keep the relationship healthy, you can't just sit back and wait for the good times to roll in. You need to initiate it. This means you have to look for ways to create happy memories all of the time, even if it means doing something silly that you both enjoy. And now that we have some of the elements, because this list is in no way complete, let's look at some of the ways that activate what's required for a healthy relationship. Let's start here. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Talk about who you are because you're changing day by day, moment by moment. Talk about how you are changing. Talk about what you want and what you need. Talk about your strengths, your weaknesses, your fears. Talk about what you see and what you know. And always, always be as honest as you can. And as much as you talk, listen. Listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. Listen with your soul. and always be willing to hear something new about the other person, and never, ever, ever use what you hear as a weapon or a tool for dishonorable intentions. Stay present in your relationship. If you want your relationship to be healthy and stay healthy, then you have to be in it mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Be mindful not to allow outside responsibilities, demands, and interests to take your mind and heart and your soul out of the heart of the relationship. If your time and energy and attention is being drawn away, communicate that. Communicate what you're up to so that the other person knows and is aware, even if they don't like it or don't understand. At least they will know that you're still present. If you want a healthy relationship, please do your best to have a pleasant disposition and a happy outlook. Be cheerful. Be willing and open to have fun and be loving. Be excited about being able to spend time with the other person. Make time for them because you want to, not because you feel you have to. It is so easy to get bogged down with work and worries and kids and bills that you forget or take for granted the other person or people that you love and care about. This, for me, is huge. And this really determines and can determine the health of a relationship. Stand by each other. Stand with each other and stand for each other. In a healthy relationship, people stand with, for, and by each other. Life is not always a bed of roses, and sometimes you may experience total bliss and happiness, and at other times, both of you may have to push your way through tough times and misery. Mistakes happen. People, circumstances, and situations change. So learn to stand together and support each other when things get tough. Sometimes hard times are nothing but a test of love and commitment. In a healthy relationship, people lend a shoulder when it's needed instead of saying, I told you so, or look what you did. So if I had to sum this up in one sentence, I would say, a healthy relationship is one that you want to be in, where you can do and will treat a person the way you want to be treated. You see the best for the other person even when they don't see it for themselves or within themselves. A healthy relationship is one where you know it is no longer safe or healthy or loving for things to continue the way they are. So you make an effort to improve the health of the relationship. And in the process, you may discover that there are those times and circumstances when the healthiest thing you can do, the most loving thing you can do, is exit the relationship. Now, this list of elements and behaviors is in no way complete, nor does it cover every possible situation. It's just the beginning, some things for you to consider. So I hope you've heard something that will support you in creating, recreating, or building healthier, happier relationship. Until next time, stay in peace and not pieces.
See, today I'm having one of them days where I just don't want to be bothered. But it seems like you can't understand that, because it's your way or no way. But check this out, it's my way today. And I'm really, really sick and tired if you stepping into my little box when I just don't want to be bothered, okay? So check this out. I've had my way. I've had my share of ups and downs. I've been in trouble, and I couldn't tell my ups and downs. Love, it ain't no roses. Hey, miles and poses. Hey, silly all my buttons, cause you missed the right and I miss is wrong. But right now, today, I feel like I'm the one gonna sing this song. I'ma be Mrs. Right today. It's my way or the highway, but with you, there's just no getting around that. I got to be bumping heads with you. What's up with that? Listen, see, I love my man, and I know my place, I know my worth, and I just can't stand to see myself as I hurt. It's been a long time, and I think that I can get a little more love from you. I know some of y'all go through it too, cause it ain't all roses. Hey, flowers of clothing. Hey, it ain't all candy. Hey, the stuff is a man's bed. Hey, it ain't all roses. Hey, flowers of clothing. Hey, it ain't all candy. Hey, the stuff is a man's bed. Sometimes I need a hug. Sometimes I just wish you just would put your arms around me when I'm feeling so very needy. But instead you just turn your back and say, suck it up. Oh, you don't know how I'm feeling right now. If you knew how I feel on the inside, you wouldn't say suck it up. Now what the fuck? It ain't all roses. A mess yourself, it ain't gonna be all roses. Cause you just want your time, you wanna be selfish. You know, you don't want nobody messing with you. You just wanna rip somebody's head off when they trying to step to you with some, oh, you need some help, all you need is to figure it out. You figure it out. You figure it out. You go figure it out. You suck it up.
It ain't all roses. All right, guys. What is a healthy relationship? You know, one thing, a key point that she made was willingness. We have to have the willingness to want to be better in our relationships, you know, and that's all relationships across the board. And I had to practice this. They say practice what you preach, right? So I had to practice this, guys. I mean, there was some broken relationships, right? But one thing I've noted is that when we want the relationship to be better and there is an honest exchange and there is a respectable, safe parameter to have the hard conversations, what I will say is that the relationships that I did test out, it has gotten better. So it works, right, when you work it. So yeah, guys. So, how many of us are willing to admit that we do not know what a healthy relationship is? We saw our parents together, and yeah, Granny stayed with Grandpa for, you know, 50, 70 years, you know, but the things that did not go, the things that went unsaid, you know what I mean? Those things that we don't talk about, you know, the whispers at the family reunion, you know what I mean, or the gossips that, you know, happen, those things that are kept hidden, guys, are they harming for us, or you know, has it been working so long, or has it gotten to a place to where all of those things that are hidden has starting to affect our younger generations, you know what I mean? And now we out here singing on world platforms, you know, My Booty Hole Brown. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is this where we've gotten to? Do we blame our youth? You know, I take up for our youth personally, because I'm like, you know, I don't even blame them, because first off, why is this type of message even allowed on a world stage? Why is sex being so promoted on a world stage? You know what I mean? So definitely very important, guys. So I didn't want to be long this season, guys. I want to condense the shows down, but there's some few things that I need to go over before I close out. One moment. Communication, guys. That's another key point she said. She said communication, 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 communication. And I'm telling you guys, I love to do polls. So I did a poll that I'm going to be reading the comments of, you know, of what are the people saying? You know what I mean? How do the people feel about these topics in our now moment? So I'm going to read that just in a second, but what one other question that is important when it comes to respecting the elders, is very important to respect the elders because the knowledge and wisdom that they carry, you know, they said when a man dies, it's like burning a library to a ground. You know what I mean? Although we have these barriers that, you know, one of the key ones, here's the question. What are the barriers, or what are the rifts between the two generations? And it was negative perceptions of one another, negative stereotypes, the communication as it relates to email, text, emojis. Those are not real conversations. You know, what about the real conversations? We lost the real conversations to where we could feel each other through the phone with the voice. You know what I mean? A lot of us are guilty of that. And that's one thing I can definitely agree and respect, you know, because those emails and texts and stuff like that can get misconveyed. And sometimes you got to pick up the phone. You know what I mean? Here's another one, the communication between a parent and a child. You know, we are taught to stay in a child's place. And these are some of the key points that I went over yesterday, but I'm just bringing it back up in this podcast because they are very important to bring us to how we should respect our elders and look at our elders, you know, in a more light to where we can really communicate with them and gain wisdom from them and not take it personal or not even feel like, you know, you're talking down on me, or because I'm not this way, or because I don't fit the cookie cutter, you know, perception on what you want me to be. You know what I mean? I can't be myself. That hurts. You know what I mean? That hurts. I personally, you know, had to deal with that my whole life, or at least that's how I felt. It probably wasn't intent. Here's the thing. Here's an example. It probably wasn't intentional, or it may have been intentional. But here's the thing, I can't take that personal because I have to shine, we have to shine, you know, our youth has to shine with them being themselves out loud, you know, and if we take that away from them, that's when we get all the problems. We are on the stage singing that, you know, my booty helper, you know. I was having a conversation with a friend, and she was talking about the lady, I Love New York. Y'all remember I Love New York? From the Flame of Love. I just want to go here real quick because it's a great example. And New York, she was pretty to me. She was pretty. She was beautiful, black queen in all her right. I mean, sexy, feisty. You know, she didn't have to alter anything. And yet, if you are encourage anybody to go research and look at her now. Skin is lighter. Her nose is more of a Caucasian structure. She, I mean, she looks totally different. I mean, she lost all this weight. She and Little Kim is another example, and I, you know, it breaks my heart, both of these women. But how often does it go on? But here's the thing. It, my friend pointed it out. She was like, have you noticed that the way New York's mama would talk down on her and would, you know, like the mama was the queen. The mama was the real HBIC, you know, like you just a little, you know, you just my offspring, but, you know, you need to stay in your place. You know what I mean? Like from what we saw on TV was just a glimpse of what probably really went on. What drove I Love New York to that point to where she just wanted to alter her whole, and I'm not going to blame the mother, but my friend was like, you remember how her mother treated her on TV. So just imagine how intimidated New York probably felt in the shadows. How many mother-daughter relationships are out there that are not healthy that we don't talk about? How many mother and son relationships are not healthy that we don't talk about? Now, you know, I'm not going to publicly touch on it, but what I will say is that even mother and son relationship, when it's unhealthy, it gets better with time, you know, as both parties are willing to make it better. You know what I mean? Like doing the work, you know, it works if you work it, as they used to say, recovery. You know what I mean? But the feeling of, you know, someone feeling like they're not good enough, and it can go both ways, guys. It doesn't have to be the parent being the authority and the child being the victim. It can go either way, right? Not feeling good enough, intimidation. If you tell the truth, you're disrespectful. You know, if you express the truth or if you tell the world what really happened, you are just a disgrace. You are just a disrespectful. You finna be the next sacrifice because we finna get rid of you. And, you know, I mean, just these things that go on, you know what I mean, behind the scenes, right? So, what is the message from our youth to our elders? Is, you know, do you hear me? Does my voice matter? And I have to go to my poll on this one because there was a conversation. Where are we at? We got 6 minutes left for the hour. Okay. Here we go. I'll find it. Here we go. All right, so what are some of the communication issues with parents and their children, and how can we strive to make that better? I love to hear your thoughts. So that was my poll, right? And I love my friends. I love my people in the group because I know these people's stories. I've talked to these people, and these are women, my friends, and I've seen them turn it around. You know what I mean? I've seen them work to be better. So one of my friends said this, my issue was raising my voice when upset. I would ask nicely like 10 times. By the 11th time, I was screaming my head off. It was very counterproductive because it would just make my daughter have the worst attitude. And I was able to change my perspective on letting go of control, letting go of control, letting go of trying to control our children or letting go of trying to be the authoritative parent. Now, I get it. You know, parents, you know, you have to be the authority in this, and I don't have children, by the way, you guys, but I see it all the time, and I counsel people in the background all the time. And I hear these stories on how the parent let go of control and the relationship got better, right? Even when it comes to my child, it changed the game for me. Now I'm not perfect and I still mess up, although I am able to look at the situation completely differently now and not get angry over things that aren't important. If I do get angry, I am able to use different techniques to keep my cool. And she even posted the techniques, guys. Helping at home tips for parents. Oh, my, I love this. So covering the bases, before you dismiss your child's outburst as a lack of control, ask yourself if there is a simple explanation for what's going on. Are they hungry or thirsty? Are they too hot or too cold? Are they overstimulated? Did they get enough sleep? Are they feeling under the weather? Colds, and this is, I feel like we forget about the adult children, you know, because they're adults, they, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the aspect of respecting our elders and healing the generational rifts, you know what I'm saying? I feel that it's very important to cover the basics, like, okay, why is my child upset? Or, you know, what's going on? What's going on with my child that they, you know, are acting out? You know what I'm saying? So the conversation is still important, guys, right? So pick your battles. Ask yourself if this specific behavior is doing any harm or if it's just annoying, possibly isn't worth arguing over. If you do get in the argument with your child, resist the urge to raise your voice. Be matter of fact and stand your ground. All right, environment matters. Do your best to create a home that is low of stress, safe, supportive. A Mary Poppins type household would be great, but let's get real. If you and your significant other get into a fight, keep it away from the kids. Give responsible timelines for getting chores done. Praise your children for things that they do well and let them know that you love them. And, you know, I want to add that I know that there is a lot of families, and I love it, that I've seen that actually do this. They practice healthy. They practice listen to the. But I remember I mentioned the forgotten children. There is a bulk. Let's just throw a number out there. The 80% of the 70%, because it's probably not that bad. I hope it's not. But who really don't know you guys, like they don't, this podcast like this, or thank God for YouTube, you know what I mean? Like if you have the willingness to learn how to, you know, you can definitely go on YouTube help and find an article or a lecture, you know, on any topic that you may struggle with, you know what I mean? It's right there. Like in the information age, you know, if you don't want to learn or be better, that's going to be totally you because it's right at your fingertips. But if you want to be the same person that you've always been, that there are cosmic consequences behind that on every level, right? So encourage communication. Let your child know that they can talk to you about their thoughts, feelings, or difficult situations. That is very important. If a child can come to you and talk about the things that are uncomfortable, there's another Facebook comment, and she mentioned that there are times when me and my kids would get into conversations, and, you know, mama was wrong. I had to allow my children to tell me that mama was wrong. You know, mama, I didn't like the way you did this. It actually, it was a conversation of safe parameters, right? A respectable parameter, okay? I want to go, I can't wait to get to that comment. But having a difficult conversation, encouraging your children or just relationships, period, you guys, that it is safe to have a difficult conversation. And we're going to end the podcast with the hard conversation clip from yesterday, right? So when they come to you, really listen to what they have to say. You may not agree or understand, but you need to accept that the difficulties they are having are very real to them. Think about things you struggle with when you were their age. Check out their mental health conversations. Start, you know what? Mental health is also a very important thing. We've done podcasts on mental health, but just on your own, guys, when I have higher strength, I've been in therapy for years. Well, I'm not in it anymore, but therapy helped me wonders because I had to learn what the fuck is mental health, and I had to admit that I may need some assistance. You know, admitting that you need help. Timing is everything. In stressful situations, allow your child some space and address issues later when they have regained control over themselves. Otherwise, you're basically pouring gasoline on the fire. Create calm. A child in crisis and out of control cannot rely on reason. Your gut reaction may be to panic or to go into mama papa bear mode, but they rely on you to help them regain a sense of calm and stability. Soften your voice and use short, clear directions like, come with me, sit down, take a deep breath, tell me what's going on. Very important, guys. I mean, our generation, we just got beat. You know what I mean? We just got beat. So, but here's the thing. That was toxicity that was passed down through generations. You know, it goes back to the old slavery days, to the old whip. You know what I mean? Like, again, remember, change is inevitable, right? And nothing in this world is consistent, but yet that of change, guys. When I first heard that, it blew my mind because I'm like, damn, that's right. Everything is always evolving. Everything is always shifting. Everything is always changing. But if we continue to do the same shit that doesn't work, are we really growing as a society? Next comment. Parents think all disagreements is disrespect, and it is not. We must listen to what they are saying. When I have conversation with my tribe, we are animated. Nice. Sometimes we are angry. Sometimes we are venting and sad. And honestly, some of our conversations are not, capital N-O-T, are not calm. Back and forth exchanges with her kids, y'all. But this is healthy because, her, you know, you are not taking away the kids' voice by making them stay into a child's place. You know what I mean? You're allowing them to have a voice. I had to bring the grace and understanding over to my kids. Once I looked at it as an honest exchange, I no longer felt the need to direct or strife their energy. Ooh, strife their energy. How many of us try to strife one another's energy? Oh, my God. Big feelings in adults need grace. Big feelings in children need the utmost grace. Oh, honey, I didn't even read all this comment before. At least that's how I view it. I am their safety. They must be able to express and feel and vent. Otherwise, I just force them to lie. Ooh. I can't teach them what to feel. I can only teach them how to navigate those feelings. Sometimes they feel like mama is wrong and doesn't know how it is. As a mama, it's my job to let them know that they might be absolutely the fuck right. I love it. But I love it. When a mother can admit that she's wrong and have a balance in that, oh, that just makes my heart sing, guys. You know what I mean? Who's perfect, really? You know? Yes. Okay. This is Marcia. Marcia's been on a podcast with gloves off. She used to like to team up with DJ Rain. When they was on podcast, go back and listen to her and Marcia on. We done many. It has awareness radio was booming, guys. It was like a team of 13 people. But now it's just me. But she still comments every now and then. So she and I know her story personally. After growing up in a severely abusive household, I vowed to always give my children a voice. And she does. My children were always allowed to speak their minds. We agreed on respectable parameters. I always listened, and if they called me out on my behavior, I always, and this is a mother, you guys, okay? I always agreed. I love when the mothers show up, y'all. I always, and admit, you know, everything, you know, hey, you know, I always agreed with them. I saw what I did. They saw what I did. my perspective was different, so I can agree with them and not be offended. Ugh. It's called self-awareness. My mother always took my voice until one day during the counseling session, I cursed her out. I was fed up take her abuse and behavior anymore. I was already in a group home with 55 other children. Then she would let me express myself, which I rarely did with her. I called her a black bitch and stormed out of the session in tears. I still love her, but in that moment, I could have banished her to the underworld and never look back. Baby, now when it comes to that level of anger, that's when cosmic intervention has to come into play, because we can be so angry at our mama. And this is no, remember, this podcast is respect to the elders. This is an open conversation about honest exchange, guys, because we got to start somewhere. Because when I look and when I see these babies whooping on their grandmama, and beating them, you know what I'm saying? So if we verbally can't have a conversation, a respectable conversation, how bad is it going to get to where somebody says, hey, wait, something is off, something is wrong, something needs to change in the way that we are communicating with one another throughout the generation. Something has to shift. And I mean now, okay? And that's not coming from a place of anger. That's coming from a place of concern. So I told her, I said, I love the way that she goes. So what, I don't know how she did with her daughter. She stated that she allowed her children, you know, to open up and to, you know, speak. But what I do see her with her grandson, and they are awesome. And she publicly puts it out there, right? My grandson, you know, sometimes they have disagreements, and she'll post a disagreement and how, you know, they came to an agreement and how she, you know, her vulnerable feelings on how, you know, she felt raising her grandchild. I don't think she's raising them, but she has them all the time. But she just openly shows a positive example of her and her grandson. You know what I mean? And I love seeing, we need more in the Huxtables. There's so much conspiracy about this, but there was a positive role model, no matter how you want to look at it. You know, they took away all of the positive role models as far as the and Wiggs is going to use this for a figure of, you know, just this, the golden people, let's just say, the positive examples, guys. We need more positive example on a global level is what I'm trying to say. So I love her examples. Here's Mark. And Mark's been on the podcast too. Parents need to acknowledge that children are actually people. Okay. You know, I just, come on. How many times has a kid gave us wisdom? We should actually listen. You know, important. I'm going to read that one more time. Parents need to acknowledge that children are actually people. How many times has a kid gave us wisdom? We should listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that commented on that. So, again, guys, let me see if there's anything else I need to cover. I feel that that is it. What goes unsaid, does it hurt, does it harm, why? And so just to summarize everything, okay? This is a podcast about respecting our elders again, how important it is to have an honest exchange. If you, in your own situations, you know, want to share publicly, you know, on how you communicate, you know, effectively with your families, you know what I mean? I think that on a public forum, more examples of that should be had, should be projected into the world. So however you do it, if you listen to this podcast, however it is conveyed. You know what I'm saying? If you could just do your part as far as being a positive role model or example in sharing, you know, in sharing how you do it, because I promise you, I was one of them. If I didn't have the willingness to research and do my work and to, you know what I mean, I got like a whole desk full of notes right now on just this podcast alone. You know, so it's important, all right? And the conversation is important. So whatever we can do, if we could somehow get it on mainstream, you know, get back to the basics and get all of this trash from out, you know what I mean? It's like you got to search and dig and find the real good stuff, you know what I mean? And if you're not aware and awake or even in a lane to where to be in the know, you're not going to find people like Rap Smart, you know, on YouTube. You know what I mean? You're not going to find all of these beautiful people that are doing things behind the scenes, you know, to make things better. You know what I mean? So the forgotten children and the lost children and the lost families that really don't know how to, you know what I mean? Everybody's how-to is different. That's what someone pointed out in a podcast one time, and I was like, you know what, you're right, everybody's house is different, but having the willingness to be better between generations, I think it's definitely going to be an important key, guys. So I hope this helped someone out there, and remember the card I pulled about the unknown. But if you feel like, you know, just note that you have to know that you are truly never alone. You know what I mean? You have to really know that and feel that. And if you want to, you can build up. I know a lot of people have a misconception on God and, you know, what it is for them. But some type of divine connection or divine intervention or some type of positive balance in your life would definitely be, you know, a good, you don't have to go to church. You know, you can know that you are the church. You know what I mean? So, as stated, guys, I'm going to go out with Iyanla. And the clips are already in the show notes, guys. And where is it? Hold on, y'all. Y'all have to go and wait a minute. I just had it yesterday. hold on, give me a second. All right, guys. So building your conversation in your communion with God, right? Quote God, divine source, divine energy, however you know, want to, your relationship with divinity, the unknown, right? You can begin to build that relationship up. You know, if you want to start to have a healthy relationship, start there, right? Know that you're not alone. Know that you have unseen forces with you and your spirit. Shout out to my spirit team. Shout out to my ancestors. Shout out to my grandmother, Catherine Massboy. Shout out to my ancestors, known and unknown. You know what I mean? For I know that I personally have built a healthy relationship, you know what I mean, with my spiritual team. So gratitude. This podcast was for y'all, not only just to my intermediate ancestors, but to the ancestors of the ancestors of the ancestors and the ancestors, you know what I mean? Just a cosmic shout out, you know, and a cosmic thank you and gratitude for not giving up on me and for just allowing me my space to fuck up and allow me my space to grow and to come back and get it right. When you come back and when you get it right and when you, not necessarily just right or wrong, but when you come back and you correct, you self-correct yourself, when you know that you could have, you may could have done that a different way. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful to be here in this moment right now to be able to come back and make it right. So thank you for the opportunity to do that. In respect to the elders, always with knowledge come wisdom, but with knowledge applied, okay? Applied knowledge leads to wisdom. And through my fuck-ups, I had to learn that and still having to learn that, all right? All right, guys, thank you. Please join me every weekend. All podcasts are normally open, uploaded before noon. I am trying to gear to a set time frame because one thing I did learn was consistency, right? So being on at a consistent time to where if people want to join me and everything, I do have to set that back up instead of sporadically. Since my plate is kind of clean from schooling and stuff like that, I do have a little more time to be consistent. So I'm going to work on that, okay? Let me just be honest and say, work on a consistent time frame to where I'm on. But thank you for joining me in this new season. I hope you guys enjoy me going back to the basics as far as how this whole podcast started with me having conversations, even if I was talking to myself, guys, somebody listening, you know what I mean? But my work is for divinity and possibly people, you know, just I do what I do because I'm compassionate about what I do, you know, so even when no one's listening, right? But all right, guys, well, no, I know that someone is listening. The unknown, okay? All right, guys, the unknown, remember, yes. Yes, guys, that was a moment with me and the unknown. All right, guys, remember to build a positive relationship, to build a balanced relationship with the unknown. It's going to be very key and very important. You are not alone. You are not alone, Michael Jackson. You are not alone. I guess you got to go out with that, right? There it is. All right, guys, till next time. Hold on. If I got to find a clip for you guys, I just had it. All right, guys, peace.
Trying to mend the pieces of your broken heart. Want to make a change but don't know where to start. Let's go on a journey trying something new. Let's go on the road to finding you. The Art Spot with the Art Love. Talking relationships, getting down to the sticks of it. The Art Spot.
Welcome to the R-Spot, the relationship zone, the place we come to examine and explore the issues, challenges, benefits, and rewards of relationships, all kinds of relationships, because relationships make our world and our lives better places. That's why we want to be better in them and for them. Now, our topic this week is one of those necessary topics, one we do not like, but one that we can all become better with, and it's about hard conversations. Now, just what is a hard conversation? A hard conversation is one you might call confrontational, one where you are questioning or challenging someone, or one where you are asking for or presenting a sensitive or difficult topic. We may think it's confrontational, but I call it carefrontational because I care about you and I want our relationship to be better. I want us to have this conversation to clear things up or get accurate information or to establish a boundary or make a specific request. Any number of things that we are afraid or resistant to saying. In light of that, think of a hard conversation as being one that's just as hard for you to speak as it is for the other person to hear. A hard conversation is one that challenges behavior or challenges authority or challenges something that you have been tolerating, accommodating, and accepting for a long period of time, and now you realize this isn't working for me. A hard conversation is one that addresses something that is not working, and that's why you're having the conversation. A hard conversation is also one that you know either from experience or history or just your own intuition. The other person does not want to hear what you have to say or engage you in the conversation because it challenges them. It challenges their authority or their behavior or their long-held habits. And chances are when you begin the conversation, you will get resistance, rebellion, and pushback. These are the conversations. These hard conversations are the ones that you know or suspect will hurt or upset someone, and you will be forced to deal with the consequences. Now remember, this is a conversation. This is not you telling somebody something or you forcing your opinions on someone. No, that is not what this is about. It's a conversation, a two-way exchange that requires talking and listening. It's an exchange of ideas, of thoughts, of feelings that are spoken by word. It is not a text or an email, or lipstick writings on the bathroom mirror. In a hard conversation, you must be willing to speak and to hear. Now, the intention of a hard conversation will often determine the outcome, but you will have to talk about everything that's involved in the topic. Now, hard conversations come in a variety of shapes and sizes and cover a variety of topics. But since we're talking about relationship, let's look at two areas that can be very hard to talk about. I don't want to be in this relationship, or something you did or did not do, something you said or did not say, has caused me hurt, harm, or upset. The first, I don't want to be in this relationship. That is a really tough one, or shall I say a rough one. But the rules of hard conversations still apply here. So let me give you the rules for having a hard conversation. Rule number one, ask the person if they're willing to have the conversation. Now, it can be as simple as, I need to talk to you about something. Is this a good time? Or, I want to talk to you about something. Are you open to having a conversation? And if the person says no, you can ask, when will be a good time for you? Or you can say, can we set some time aside to talk later or tomorrow? You know, nothing is more difficult than having a hard conversation with someone who does not want to talk. So avoid making the difficult even more difficult by asking. And if it's not a life or death situation, wait until they're ready and be nice while you're waiting. If nothing comes back from the person, let's say in 24, 48 hours, remind them. Remember, we need to talk about something, and I want to know when you'll have some time for us to do that. Rule number two, have a clear intention. Know what it is that you want to communicate and communicate it clearly. Don't beat around the bush. Don't tell stories. Don't make excuses, and do not blame or find fault. Say what you need to say and then break it down into bite-sized pieces if necessary. You know, the time has come for me to leave this relationship. That's clear. Or I need to talk to you about your drinking or your foot odor or leaving the toilet seat up. Whatever it is, state it clearly. State it up front. Do not over-explain and do not anticipate what the other person will say or do. If they have a response, listen, and then state your intention again. It's not my intention to hurt you or upset you. And because I care about you or I care about our relationship, I really do love you. I want you to know, blah, 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 whatever it is. Now, if you're leaving a relationship, there will undoubtedly be a reaction, some questions, and possibly a breakdown. So be prepared to stand your ground. If you're making a request or conveying some difficult information or establishing a boundary, then you can offer an explanation. But please keep it simple. Speak in 20 words or less in each sentence. If you are clear and committed, this won't be a problem. And be mindful not to blame or over-explain. Clear, clean, complete. That is the ticket when you're having a hard conversation. Say it clearly, make it clean, and complete it so that when you leave the conversation, you and the other person knows what to expect. Rule number three. When you're having a hard conversation, say it in the same way you would want to hear it. It's important to be compassionate. Look the person in the eye. Maybe touch or hold their hand. Say what you need to say, and if it's really a hard conversation, stay out of the way of throwable objects. In other words, be prepared for an adverse reaction. And if you get one, if you get an adverse reaction from a hard conversation, back away, back down. You can come back to the conversation at a later time. At all costs, do not meet upset with upset. Do not meet hurt with hurt. If you back down, I promise you the person will come back for more information after they cool off and really get clear about what you're saying. Rule number four, make your requests or decisions clear and specific. If you are asking something of the other person, be clear. I'm asking you to please go to the podiatrist and have your feet checked out because they really do have an odor. Or I'm asking you to please stop beating the dog. Or if it is a decision, let them know what it is and whether or not there's any room for negotiation. For example, I'll be leaving the house by Friday, and I'm ready to file for a divorce. Or I'm leaving tonight, and I would like to stay in touch with you by phone, but I need you to let me know if that's okay. Or whatever decision you've made for yourself, it must be communicated clearly, and you must be willing to listen to the person's response, whether or not you like it, and whatever it may be. So again, when it comes to a hard conversation, something difficult to communicate, or a hard request, or information that you're providing that may hurt or upset the person, ask the person if they're willing to have the conversation. Have a clear intention and speak with compassion. Make your request or your decision known. Make it clear. Make it specific. Now, I know this is a very intellectual approach that may not cover all the intricacies involved in saying difficult things. But if you time it right, if you have and hold a clear intention, if you create the right environment, you can tell almost anybody anything, and they'll be able to hear it and respond, even if it's difficult or hard. So when it comes to a hard conversation, you must also be genuine, authentic, and a good listener. Now, you will be tempted to get caught up in how the person reacts, but if your intention is clear, I can't say that enough, you will overcome that temptation. As you probably know, I once had a very hard conversation in a very public way with Miss Oprah the Winfrey herself. After 11 years of separation amidst many rumors and speculations, I walked onto the stage of the Oprah Winfrey Show and I said, I ask for your forgiveness. Because I knew she was willing to talk because she invited me to the show. And my intention was to share with her what I had learned about myself and my behavior that had contributed to the breakdown in the first place. I didn't make up what she would say. I didn't assume that she was thinking this or that. And I didn't want anything from her. I had absolutely no idea how she would respond when she shared her perspective, when she challenged my perspective, when she asked me some hard questions. I held my ground. What I had done was inappropriate because I didn't understand certain things and I didn't have certain information that she thought I did have. And what I had done was not malicious, nor did I have an ill intent. So it didn't matter what her perspective was. I had to be clear about my perspective. What I had done was a function of my own unworthiness that I was experiencing at the time. And even though it looked like and sounded like something else, that is what it was. After a 2.5-hour, very hard and very public conversation, she heard me. She accepted what I had to offer, and the rest is history. Now, granted, it took us 11 years to get there, but we got there. Hard conversations are not easy, but they are possible. You must first be clear within yourself, because if you're not clear, the best thing for you to do is to keep your mouth shut. You must be willing and ready to accept responsibility for whatever is going on, your share of the responsibility, even when you think it's all about the other person. You accepted, tolerated, and accommodated it. And now you've made a new choice, a different choice that you want to communicate. So take responsibility. I once told someone in a hard conversation, please forgive me for allowing you to believe that it's okay for you to speak to me in that manner. I was wrong. It is not okay. It will never be okay. And I wanted you to know that so we can move forward in a different way, if we choose to. And I was willing to let the person go. But you know what? They were shocked that I said that. Not only did they apologize, but we are still friends until this very day. So if you've been putting off a hard conversation, get clear, be compassionate, set your intention, and go for it. And please, don't be thrown off center by how the person responds. In fact, never judge your clarity on how somebody responds. Say what you need to say and mean it. That is the real hard part. Hard conversations. You can do it. I hope this helps.
The Art Spot.
And now for our question of the day. Iyamla, would you say that a relationship can survive physical abuse? Well, beloved, I would never say never, but my question would be, why would you want to wait and see? If you are in an experience where there is physical abuse, that is not a healthy or loving relationship. In fact, it's not a relationship. It's an entanglement where your issues are entangled with the other person's issues and the two of you are duking it out. And chances are somebody's taking a beat down. I stayed in a physically and verbally abusive relationship for 9 years and it never got better. I stayed because I thought that's what I deserved. I stayed because I lied to myself and allowed myself to believe that I couldn't leave. I stayed because I was too ashamed and embarrassed to face and admit that I was in an abusive entanglement. I stayed until the day I realized at 3 a.m., this is not going to change and my life is in danger. And even then, I didn't leave for me. I left for my children. But any reason is better than no reason if it causes you to take action. A relationship is a connection, a physical, emotional, and spiritual bond, the way in which two or more people relate to one another. Now, when there's physical, verbal, or emotional abuse, the way of relating is violent and destructive for both parties. Why would you want to stay in that experience? Can a relationship survive physical abuse? I would offer that once the abuse begins, it is no longer a relationship. And I would encourage you to find out what it is for you. Is it familiar? Is it a form of punishment? Is it a habit? Is it an excuse? Is it a reason or a rationale that you are using to avoid something you fear more than being beaten? Now, if you can answer those questions, you'll know what to do. But in the meantime, beloved, please be safe and stay safe.
The Art Spot.
Now, here is our hallelujah truth for today. Once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether or not the storm is really over. But when you come out of a storm, a real storm that has ripped up some parts of your life, you won't be the same person who walked into the storm. And beloved, that's what the storm is all about, changing you. Now, to all of the newcomers to the R-Spot, welcome. You want to be sure to subscribe to the Iyamla Van Zandt YouTube channel so that you will get a notice each time a new episode is posted. I also invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I've learned so much about those things. We have some really wonderful freemiums coming out soon, and I want you to make sure that you have everything we have to offer. So sign up for my mailing list at www.iyamla.com. I hope you've enjoyed this R-Spot, and I'll see you next time.
Another day is gone.
Forever can begin. dressing, counting your blessings, biding your time. You lay me down sleeping, my heart is weeping, because I'm keeping a place for
No one should ever feel as if they were forgotten. We are always here with you.